With your host, Operator. Date is Friday the 13th. This episode is going to be over Friday the 13th. 13th is significant to Christians because it's the number of people who were present at the Last Supper. Actually, I'm just kidding. This episode is not going to be about Friday the 13th. It's going to be about portable apps and the wonders of creating your own portable apps and hoping that they'll run portably. First off, we're going to go over what are portable apps. Well, if you've been living in a box, portable apps are portable apps, just that independent applications that run will run anywhere, no matter what you stick them on. They don't require an install. First thing you'll think of when you think of portable apps is, of course, the website portableapps.com. They have an all-in-one bundle deal where you tell it what you want to install, you put the portable device in there, and it'll install. However, and then it has an auto run also with a cute little menu and stuff like that. Pretty much how they work is you'll have a folder for each application. As far as portableapps.com goes, they'll have app and a data folder and an executable, which you may or may not need. Just depends on how it works. Second thing you'll notice is 90% of the time, you're not going to need administrative rights to run that piece of software. And the first thing you'll think of is when you're running any kind of portable applications, you're going to think of security. What you might want to do if you have administrator rights on that computer is set it as a actual TrueCrypt volume. Alternative data stream on top of that also if you'd like, but I would suggest using TrueCrypt volume just for the fact that it makes security easy. Now, if you don't have administrator rights, you can also just take the whole thing, use a 7-zip bash script that'll actually back everything up for you into a zip file with a fairly long password, and that should keep you secure as far as if you're off-site, and you'll also have a little backup of it on there. You'll want to try to auto-run. Have your auto-run instead of using the little suite that comes with portable apps. You can have an auto-run script that might bring up some little VB menu or a basic menu so that you can run your applications fairly easily. Alternatively, you have the U3 compatible drives. There's an article online about how to hack the firmware on theirs. You can have it apply passwords or something like that. Pretty much make your own program that overrides the auto run function. So it's not just auto run, it's an actual thing that's hard coded into the firmware of the disk. They also have the laptop external drives, which are fairly more expensive, but they're really cute, slick, and cool. Of course, I can't afford one of those. So, you have all your portable apps from portableapps.com, and maybe you found a couple other ones that you just copied and pasted over, like Nmap or your utilities from your boot CDs or something of that nature. Well, say you have a piece of software you want to try and make portable. Most of the time, you can make a registry patch if it's a game, for example. The cheap An easy way to hack a game up is to install the application in a weird folder name. Then once you've installed it, go through the registry and search for that string. And then make yourself a little registry patch that uses, you can actually use current path 90% of the time in a registry. and it will run the executable inside of that path. So for example, you'd use a dot or dot forward slash or whatever it is for Windows, and it'll run inside of that path. Now if it doesn't work, then you might have to use the full path of the actual external drive. You can also try Regmon. Go and handpick the paths that you're missing. Maybe there's some kind of path that you're not missing that doesn't have anything to do with the path that you installed it. And usually for small programs, you can take the executable, run it, it'll say it's missing some DLL. Copy that DLL over, run it again, say it's missing some DLL. Copy that DLL over, and rinse and repeat until you can run the application and hope that when it comes up it can run semi-portably. Most everything that's open source or on sourceforge.net, you can pretty much make portable. They'll install and have an install and an uninstall. Yeah, that's great. You just copy the folder, uninstall it, and see if it runs by itself and see what DLLs you're missing. If you're missing any, copy them into the path that the exe is in, and 90% of the time it's going to run portably. Pretty much application specifics as far as Skype and Firefox goes. First off, I'll talk about Skype. You're going to have a totally different thing if you use the portableapps.com. The new version of Skype has like a forward slash portable vert. It's Skype executable forward slash data path colon, and then the actual folder name of where you want to store the data, then space forward slash removable. And that's how they set up. You can use it portably and it'll save all your data in there and all that stuff, even log files and everything. Now, as far as Firefox goes, I'm not sure which one of these keys that I put in the show notes made it so that it would not run on the USB stick. But there's a few keys in there that are key to make it run off of the portable device. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's the browser.cache.disk.enable equals false. And that will make it not run the cache off the disk, and the disk in this case being your portable disk, and slowing it down and making the pages load slowly and stuff. But there's other keys in there that may or may not need to be used in the show notes. So if you're using Firefox portably, you might want to check the show notes and see, mess around with these keys and see if you can get it to run a little faster. If you have SSH set up, you're also going to want to try to tunnel everything as much as you can, all the portable apps over your SSH. For Firefox, I'd use Switch Proxy. It makes it an easy way to switch back and forth to the tunnel and using your local proxy or LAN or random proxy or whatever you want to do. And then also Game has proxy features. Pretty much any network application, you can try and get it to tunnel over your SSH if possible. So that way, all they see is when you're on your computer doing whatever, they don't see anything but a bunch of garbage going across the network. So that's always good. That about wraps this episode up for Twat Tech. This is your host, Operator. I want to go ahead and check the show notes for portable apps. The FTP website has some links that are in there for portable apps that aren't on portableapps.com. Check the forums for portable apps and seed apps, stuff that have, you know, that's been ported that you don't know about. As far as the music you heard today, first one was Lady Sovereign, Public Warning album. And this song was track 6, My England. And the second song you heard was Joanna Newsom, Peach Plum Pear. It's quite annoying and quite joyful at the same time. I'd like my next twat to be over cross-site scripting, but I'm a total noob and need some help with the cross-site scripting proxy and or clones of the sort. So if anybody has anything, information, or has set one of those up and can help me out, that would be great. I would also like to do one on the HoneyDB type of service called Nymphasis, if I'm not mistaken. If anybody can help me with that and get a basic setup going and give me the basics of customization for that, that would be great too.